each day. I will tell the saints and angels as I lay my burdens down. Jesus, led me all the way. If God should let me there review
Thank you, Mrs. Garner. Open your Bible, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 7. John's Gospel, chapter 7. John, chapter 7. And stand, if you will, out of love and respect for God's Word as we read two verses for our message this morning. John chapter 7, we'll begin to read in verse number 37, and I believe we'll read part of 39 also. The Bible says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now I want you to notice particularly the statement that Jesus made when he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. A parallel passage is in chapter 5 of the Gospel of Matthew and verse number 6, where Jesus said, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. I want to talk to you for a little while this morning on the subject, thirsting after righteousness. Thirsting after righteousness. Heavenly Father, help me today as I bring this message to challenge your people to look into their own heart and examine their relationship with you. Do they desire to please you? Do they desire to know more about you? Do they desire, do we desire to be like you? Do we desire to serve you? Do we desire to obey you? Do we desire to hide thy word in our heart that we might not sin against God. Lord, help us to be mindful that after a life of ministry and service for you, the Apostle Paul said, the one thing I want to do is I want to know more about Jesus, that I might know Him. God, help us today to thirst after righteousness. Now, Lord, we're in the middle of a hot summer. And this is as good a time as any for sinners to get saved. This is as good a time as any for Christians to get right. There'll never be a better time for us to yield our life to you than right now. Would you come down and speak to our hearts today? Would you call the backslidden Christian back to your side and back to the place of being right, where once again they'll hunger and thirst after righteousness? Would you stir our hearts as Christians that we might not be satisfied, but we want to know more about our Savior? We want to walk in your will and in accordance with thy word. And then, Heavenly Father, there are people here today that need to be saved. Why, if they should die today where they're seated in a moment, they'd go straight to hell because they've never accepted Jesus as Savior. Would you use the Word of God this morning to create in them a hunger and a thirst to know Jesus as their Savior? Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, you might bring great conviction upon their heart, that they might see themselves as you see them, lost and condemned already to an eternity in a place called hell, where there is no hope and there is no mercy and there is no end. Save them today, we beg you, in Jesus' name. Now, I need your help. I pray that you'd add to the church according to your will, and you'd give this preacher power to preach and liberty to say those things that would honor you. Help us to listen on purpose, that we might hear on purpose God speaking to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The three verses that I've read to you today takes place at the end of the great day of the feast. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. And this took place every year on October the 15th and lasted for 8 days. This feast began 5 days after the Day of Atonement and marked the completion of the harvest there in Israel. But its purpose was a memorial to the years of wandering in the wilderness by their forefathers. The last day of the feast marked the end of their ecclesiastical year. And it was on the last day of this feast that Jesus stood up and spoke the verses that I read to you. He wanted to remind Israel of their 40 years of waste and wandering in the dry and dusty desert wilderness, where natural water was in short supply. And Jesus had to provide the water through Himself in the rock for the thirsty people to drink. And now then Jesus stands up and says to them, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." You see, they were no longer wandering in the wilderness, but there was still a drought in their soul. They knew a little about religion and a little about history, but they knew nothing about Christianity and God's plan of redemption through Jesus Christ. And God wanted them to realize that He was the Savior, He was the Messiah, He was the one that could give them life everlasting. And He used this occasion to remind them how dry and hot and thirsty and empty they were as they wandered in the wilderness. And all the refreshing of a drink of water. He wanted them to know that He was that water. In fact, the Bible tells us that even the water that flowed from their rock, that rock in the wilderness, was a picture of Jesus, who is our rock that provides the water of life through Jesus Christ Himself. He said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And he reminds them of that rock, how that out of that rock in the wilderness, and that rock was Christ, Paul tells us in Corinthians, out of that rock would flow water, and 3 million Jewish wanderers would be satisfied from the river that flowed from that rock. And Jesus says, "Now I have a river of water for you," New Testament. That water is salvation. You can drink, and when you drink, there will flow from you rivers of waters. Rivers of waters that'll bless the multitudes. And he was speaking about the Holy Spirit that would come and indwell every believer and seal every believer and fill every believer with his power, where we could be a blessing in a thirsty and dry world that knows not Christ. I want to point out two or three thoughts from this passage today. First of all, God wants mankind to thirst after salvation. God wants us to want Him. You know, if God wanted to, He could make us love Him. But God wants us to love Him. He wants us to choose to love Him. He gave us a will to make a choice. And He wants us to choose to love Him. And God, through the preaching of the Word of God and through the teaching of the Word of God and the witnessing of soul winners, creates a thirst and a hunger in the hearts of sinners to know Jesus Christ. Bless God, when God saved me at age 15, I realized I was a lost sinner. I realized I was on my way to hell. I deserved hell, and I knew it. And I realized Jesus loved me and died for me on the cross so I could be saved. And there was a hunger and thirst in my heart to be saved and have that forgiveness of sin. God desires that in every one of us. Jesus is the water of life. And in our scripture in John chapter 7, Jesus says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." I got saved on August the 23rd, 1954, in a hot August summer. We didn't have air conditioning. The little church thought it was really uptown. It put an attic fan in. And it opened the windows and turned that big old fan on, and man, it'd suck everything through those windows. We thought we were uptown. And it was in a August revival meeting that thirst and hunger stirred in my soul. And I went forward and by faith believed upon Jesus Christ as my Savior. I took a long drink. And I've never gotten over it. It's changed my life. He wants us to hunger and thirst after salvation. That's why he tells us the preaching of God's word and the witnessing of soul winners is designed to make sinners thirsty to know Jesus, hungry to know Jesus. A person does not take a drink of water until he's thirsty. And a sinner doesn't receive Jesus as Savior until he understands he's lost and on his way to hell. And he needs a Savior. First thing about preaching and about soul winning, you've got to get a person lost before you can get them saved. You know, I've never had a person look at me in the eye and say, "If I died, I'd go to hell, and I know it," that did not accept Christ as Savior. If you can get them lost, you can get them saved. But in our society today, and this is a problem of religion. Religion makes everybody comfortable in their sin. In fact, people say, I'm looking for a church where I can feel comfortable. Well, I've asked God, I've dedicated my life to make people uncomfortable in church if they're unsaved. I want them to get saved. God says that He was the water of life. He said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. If I can get someone to admit they're lost, it's a short step to get them saved, to trust Christ as Savior. I remember as I was working on this sermon, I remembered as a boy in the 50s down in East Texas during July and August, we hauled hay. Now, they didn't have those big old round bales or square bales. They had little rectangular bales that weighed anywhere from 60 to 80, 90 pounds apiece. Wire around them, not baling twine. And we'd go out and haul hay. The baler would bale it and we'd haul it all day and stack it in the barn. 50 cents an hour. We had a small neck jug. Vinegar came in it, gallon jug, small neck, and usually we'd lost the top and Daddy had taken a corn cob and stuck in it or a cork and stuck in it. And he'd wrap it with tosac, burlap, put nails in it to hold it, didn't sew it or anything, you know, country. And he'd fill that up with water out of the well. And then he'd pour the water, get the sack wet. And we'd take it to the field with us. And we'd find a little bush. And we'd get over on the shady side of the bush and dig a little hole and put that water down in the ground, you know, under the shade so it helped stay cool. And oh, after about hour and a half, 2 hours of hauling hay in July and August, man, you worked up a thirst. You worked up a thirst. You were ready for a drink of water. We'd go over and get that little neck jug, pull the stopper out of it, turn it up. Man, oh man, there has been nothing ever made that's more satisfying than a drink of water when you're thirsty. And oh, lost sinner, there is nothing more satisfying than to take a long drink of Jesus Christ by faith, believing He died for your sins and rose again for your justification. Oh, the joy of knowing Jesus as Savior, to know your sins are forgiven, heaven is your home. You see, He wants us to be able to remember drinking that water because then He can give us easily sweet assurance of our salvation. Man, we'd haul hay, drink that water, and I couldn't wait for dinner. Now, dinner's lunch to you city slickers. Okay, breakfast, dinner, supper. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it is in the Bible. If it's good enough for Jesus, good enough for me. See, y'all reading those other versions and getting messed up, things like that. We'd go home for dinner. Mom had fried chicken. Summertime now, she'd made a big pot of cream peas with a piece of fat back in it. She had sliced an onion. Big old red tomatoes out of the garden had been sliced. She'd cooked some turnip greens. She'd baked cornbread. Have that iced tea ready. You know why I can remember all that? I can taste it right now because I was hungry when I ate it. And I can still taste the sweetness of salvation because I was thirsty and hungry when I accepted Him. By the way, that hunger and thirst hadn't left me. I know Him as my Savior, but I want to know Him better. I want to know more about Him. I want to honor Him and please Him with my life. Ah, God wants us to thirst and hunger after salvation. And then after we're saved, God said that, and of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. After we're saved, God makes a river out of our life. An ever-flowing spring. That means that when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God indwells you and seals you and fills you. And there's something that's got to come out of you and keep on coming out. And what comes out is a blessing to everybody it touches. After we're saved, God wants every saved person to be a spring or a river of water. But what happens is we get away from God and away, and instead of a spring, we become a sponge. That's a good analogy. God wants us to be a spring, a river. But if we're not right with God and don't stay right with God after we get saved, we're not a river. We're not a spring. We become a sponge. It's not giving. We want to take in because it suddenly is all about us. Too many Christians want to receive all the blessings and reap only for themselves. They're not a river, they're a sponge. They're not right with God, or they'd be a blessing. They'd be giving. They'd be serving. They'd be living to make a difference for others. Too many Christians want to take in and never give out. They want to be sung to but never sing. They want to be taught but they'll never teach. They want to be blessed but never be a blessing. They want their kids to be kept in the nursery, but they'll never volunteer to work in the nursery. They want the building to be clean, but they'll never help clean it. They want to minister, but want to be ministered to, but will never minister. They want a friendly church, but are not friendly to anyone. They want an excited church, but they never say amen. They want a missionary giving church, but never give to missions themselves. They want a great choir, but they'll not sing in the choir. They want a soul-winning church, but never go soul-winning. They want a growing church, but are not even faithful to their Sunday school class and church themselves. We become too much like sponges, and we cease to be that river. Like a sponge, we take in and refuse to give out until we're squeezed. Too often, that's the job of the preacher. He's having to squeeze a bunch of sponges in order for them to give anything or volunteer to do anything for God. Jesus states plainly that out of the Christian is to flow rivers of living water. Is your life like a river, or is it like a sponge? See, rivers flow to meet the needs of others. Rivers provide water to drink, power for industry, food for nourishment. Rivers even provide recreation. What does your life as a Christian provide in your church and in a world that's going to hell? When the river stays in their designed course, they're a constant blessing to others. But when they get out of their designed course, they cause great disasters. And so it is in the Christian's life. When we stay in the course and the will of God designed for our life, we are a blessing. But when we get out of that course, we become a disaster to everything and everybody around us. The Spirit-filled Christian is one who is constantly meeting the needs of others. There's a river flowing with living waters. Let me ask you, which are you, a river or a sponge? That's a rhetorical question, doesn't require an answer audibly. Who have you blessed lately? Who have you been a blessing to lately? Or have you been only thinking about what you get and what's in it for you? It bothers me that too many churches and too many Christians are not rivers, and we're unconcerned about it. There is a growing unconcern in our churches and throughout our nation today about God's will and purpose for our life. We're becoming stagnant pools of self-worth and self-gratification. God help us to get concerned about the fact that we're no longer concerned. Brother Clay Reed handed me 2 pages of information about some surveys and analysis recently on church and evangelism. Out of 3 million people in America, 195 million are unchurched in America. That's almost two-thirds. Two-thirds unchurched in America. And this survey by Justice Anderson said that they were not anti-church, but they just viewed the church as irrelevant in their life today. They went on to say that no county in the United States has a greater church population than it did 10 years ago. It's on the decline. Did you hear that? No county in America has a larger church population than it had 10 years ago. And he went on to say that America has the fourth greatest population in the world. The fourth largest unsaved population in the world, behind China, India, and Indonesia. We need to get concerned about our unconcern. God has laid on us the responsibility of telling the world about Jesus. We are the ones that are to be the rivers of living water flowing to help nourish and help and refresh a world going to hell. We are, and we're unconcerned about it. God help us to get concerned that we're not thirsty for God's word or God's will anymore. How important is God's great commission in your heart and life? That is the number one priority in every Christian's life and every church when it comes to ministry. To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, starting right here at church, at home. We're becoming spiritually illiterate. When we were born again, we were spiritually ignorant of God's word, and most have done nothing to learn and grow to add to their faith. God help us to get concerned that we're not more concerned about lost souls. Listen to this. There are fewer churches in America today per 10,000 population than at any time in her history. That came from the Esom report. In 1920, there were 27 churches per every 10,000 population. 1996, when this was taken, there were 11 churches per every 10,000 population. And I'm sad to tell you, it's not gotten better. It's gotten worse. The number of churches in the United States, though, has increased by 50% in the last 100 years, but the population of America has increased by 300%. We're 250% behind in just keeping up. God help us to get concerned. You say, but man, where are the preachers? Let me tell you where the preachers come from that go out and start churches. They start out as soul winners in churches. Just laymen concerned about souls. And while they're busy doing what they know to do in their local church, God reaches down and calls some and sends them out. But we're unconcerned about soul winning. We're not even doing what we could do as a church member. Soul winning is not growing. Even in Bible-believing churches, it's on the decline. We see that sometimes here at Trinity. We see people that used to go soul winning that never go again. They've accepted the devil's lie and the devil's excuse that it doesn't work anymore. It does work. We just don't do it. For Bible promises and principles to work, we must work them, put them to work. God help us to get concerned that we're not concerned about world missions anymore. 10 times further behind than when Jesus gave the Great Commission. There's more people today living in this world and less missionaries of all kinds. The number's not growing, it's declining. But that's not all the problem. I'm saying to you, God intends for us to be rivers. But we've become stagnant pools of self-interest and self-worth and self-indulgence, and we've forgotten about God's will and God's program. We're to be rivers of living water that helps and affects and changes a known hell-deserving world we live in. God help us to get concerned that we're not concerned about our marriages and families as we ought to be. Divorce rate in America continues to rise. It's rampant worldwide. We're producing dysfunctional children being raised by dysfunctional parents in a dysfunctional marriage. But I've got my job. And I can go hunting during hunting season and fishing during. I'm satisfied. God help us to get concerned that we're more concerned about bringing glory to God than we are today. By the way, you do understand that God is the one that everything is revolving around, not you. It's to be God. God didn't create us and save us so the world would revolve around us. He created us and redeemed us so we could worship Him and honor Him. He is the center. He is the preeminent one. God saved us, not to just get us out of hell. He saved us so we'd have a life that could serve Him and glorify Him and magnify Him and be a blessing to a world going to hell. God saved us so He could live His life in this wicked world through us, and people could see Jesus in us and hear Jesus from us. How long have you thought about His will and not your own? How long have you prayed, Lord, what wilt Thou have You to do? Have you ever prayed, not my will, but Thine be done in my life? You see, our problem is our attention has turned inward. It's not upward or outward. We want to direct the river of waters to bless us and not use it for what God intended, to be a blessing to a thirsty, hell-deserving world. God, help us to get concerned that we're not more concerned about obeying the call and the will of God in our own lives. Where are the men and women who heard and answered God's call in their lives at one time in the past, and then decided that God must have made a mistake? I'm here to tell you, God hadn't changed his mind or his call. His call is a call without repentance. Too often we have chosen to pursue other interests and not God's will. The happy and the blessed Christian hungers and thirsts after righteousness, the Bible says. Do you? The saved and spirit-filled Christian is like a spring of water refreshing others that are in need. Do you? Or are you more like that sponge? You only give to God when someone puts the squeeze on you. You know, if you've ever been to a spring, an artesian well, the water is flowing out of the ground. You don't have to work to pump it up. You just have to receive it. Just take a drink of it. It's there and available. And that's what God wants us to be like. He does not want to have to put a pump on us and pump us up. He doesn't want to have to squeeze us. He wants the Holy Spirit of God in us to produce a river flowing from us that just gushes out and helps and blesses a needy, hurting world. You say, I just don't have time for that while I'm doing my job. Oh, my dear friend, you're not doing your job right if you don't have time. He wants us to bless others while we go about our job, while we go about our work, while we go about our marriage, while we're raising a family. The river of living water is to be flowing wherever we're going, whatever we're doing. Our problem is we've put a spigot on it. And we're not going to let it flow except on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. And then churches are voting to shut off the spigot Sunday night and Wednesday night. And then we'll turn it on a little bit on Thursday night soul winning or Saturday morning soul winning. And churches are voting to discontinue that, shut the spigot off. Get rid of the spigot. Let Him flow through you to a world going to hell. Let Him be a blessing to those around you. That'll never happen until you hunger and thirst after Him. You hunger and thirst after His Word and knowledge of His Word. You hunger and thirst to grow in grace. You hunger and thirst as a Christian to obey His will and honor and glorify Him. Do you? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now God said if you're saved, if you're saved, if you've truly been born again, there's a river in you. Let it flow. Let Him flow through you. That when the Bible talks about the love of God, He's talking about allowing God to love others through us. God to help others through us. God to reach others through us. Are you that river? Or have you dammed it up? Put a spigot on it and let it drip a little every now and then. Well, God wants it to flow. He has a purpose, a course for your life, a will for your life. And when we walk in that will, that water flows down the course designed by God and multitudes are blessed and helped. But first, you got to drink of that water yourself. Have you? Have you? If you're here today and you're not saved, you need to trust Him as your Savior today. If you're here today and you're a Christian and you haven't been living for God, you need to come back to Him and tear down those downs, those obstructions. That means to get right with God about sin in your life. so the river can flow once again. Father, I've preached the message, preached longer than I should have this morning.